A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Then two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he wants to, for he said, 'I am God's son.'" The rebels who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
We have entered the last week and come to Calvary. One of the mysteries of this week is how it could all end so differently from how it began. On Sunday, there was pomp and processional, and the waving of palms, the coming together of the crowd, shouts of Hosanna heard in the streets. But by Friday, the crowds had all scattered. The palms dropped and dried in the high desert sun. The cheers turned to jeers. And what was left of Jesus was nothing but a bloodied and beaten brown body hanging there, naked and nearly dead. And the only observable thing left of the quote-unquote kingdom of God Jesus came preaching was now a crown of thorns on a mat of long, blood-soaked hair, a silly reed for a scepter made to be held tight in the right hand, and the mocking of the Roman soldiers whose drunken and cruel laughter could still be heard even as Jesus gasped for his last dying breaths. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. "Here is your king." The cross, his throne, crucifixion, his coronation. It was irony, sad and sadistic. And then the irony of all ironies, that even the ones hanging there on their own crosses next to Jesus joined in deriding Jesus, one on each side. So that is how the dream ended. With the sun darkened for 3 whole hours, with no kindness in the world left, but only the bitterness of the wine served up on a stick, and the gall of the curses of all of the people on both the right and the left. And 2,000 years later, we continue to pour out the full measure of Christ's sufferings as the peace and love of the coming of the kingdom of God seems ever farther off, and the polarity between the left and the right ever farther apart. What times we have been through together as a church. Since the first sermon of my call here, the same weekend as the horrific events in Charlottesville, Virginia, on into the murder of George Floyd and all of the protests on both the left and the right in 2020, and then the insurrection in 2021, and now our former president indicted, calling his people to massive resistance. And we have to wonder to ourselves, what is this nation coming to? And turning in the widening gyre, the falcon cannot hear the falconer. Things fall apart, the center cannot hold, mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. The blood-dimmed tide is loosed, and everywhere the ceremony of innocence is drowned. The best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity. And they are. The worst are full of passionate intensity. Insurrectionists. That is another translation for the Greek word given to us this morning as rebels. Jesus hung between two rebels or two insurrectionists, one on his left and another on his right. In the center could not hold. I have no answers this morning. Palms turn to passion, and there really is no easy answer to the passionate intensity. No answer comes from the one who never said a mumbling word, but died quietly with arms stretched wide and hands open to the ones on both the right and also the left. And the ones down below who mocked and jeered, yet for whom he pleaded, saying, "Father, forgive, for they know not what they do." And maybe that is the answer for today, for us to learn to pray also, even for our enemies. We are going to share in the Lord's Supper in just a moment. And on the last night of Jesus' life, He had supper with Simon the Zealot, insurrectionist, there on his left. And he had Matthew, the collaborationist tax collector, there on his right. Neither understood him. Probably neither could see how he could stand the other. And yet he sat there with them and served them both. And he told them that they were to sit there and to serve each other also. And not only that, but Jesus also sat there with and served Judas. Judas, named after Judas Maccabeus, the political revolutionary. Judas, who hoped so much in Jesus, but who, tradition says, became disillusioned with Jesus' nonviolent way. Judas, the disciple who betrayed him. Jesus served him too. And he loved him also. And that, beloved, is the meaning of this meal. Love is the meaning of the Lord's Supper. The bread and the wine, the body and the blood shared with us all. A tide has been loosed on this land. Over these past several years, some have basically said, it's okay to hate. It's okay to despise. It's okay to villainize by whatever means is necessary. There is progress made, but then there is backlash, and then there's backlash to the backlash, and it is a vicious cycle. Hate gives birth to hate. And as Jesus said, the love of many grows cold. But then I remember what Dr. King said in the last year of his life. After the backlash got really, really bad, and many were beginning to give up on the idea of nonviolent revolutionary love, I've decided to stick with love, Dr. King said, because hate is too great a burden to bear. Jesus never allowed any man to bring him to a point of hatred. He decided to stick with love instead. And with outstretched arms, one reaching left and another reaching right, he kept on loving until his last dying breath. And that is why, when he cried out to God and gave up his ghost, the Bible says there was thunder and rumbling deep within the rocks of the earth. Because love is a revolutionary, earthquaking force. And the only force that is powerful enough to shake the whole world without destroying it. And though the day was dark, suddenly a ray of light could be seen shining through the clouds. And someone then had the audacity to say that the worst day in all of the world should be called good. Because as John said, having loved his own in the world, he loved them all to the very end. And if one can love that way, there may be another. Maybe even you and me. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God and mother of us all, and together then all of God's people say, amen and amen.